We've been working through a series called Going Deeper. Kristen Ettinger really could really preach the message. That's exactly what we would pray that God would do in the hearts and lives of each one of us, is that we would realize if we're going to go deeper, there's certain steps that need to happen in our lives so they could be able to be fulfilled. And her testimony of saying, I was hearing the messages, she's at college and hearing those online, hearing the messages, and then saying, I need to take a step to go deeper in my life, and that's in baptism. And so maybe that's true for your life also. Maybe that is something you need to do. But each week we've been talking about these G's, and they were gather, grow, and give, and today is called go. So these four G's are really very much a part of how each one of us can go deeper in our walk with Christ. And so I hope that you're being challenged to go beyond being an infant in your faith to something mature in your faith. And that's such an important challenge. And that's why it was so exciting for us last week to see 267 names on these lists, who have people who said, I want to take a step of being connected, of growing, of giving, and finding how God wants to use my life. So today, go, it's go time. Here's what's necessary for us, and I hope you're challenged as we're talking about this morning, about how you can be able to go deeper as well. The scripture says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to, yes. So there's a message there for each one of us. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning. Help us to hear your voice. And we'll be faithful to follow. In Christ's name, amen. What is the path to spiritual maturity? How does that happen in our lives? And I would think that we would want to make sure that's something that's happening. I got a text message this week from one of those in our congregation who was going through a very difficult time through her dad, who was having open heart surgery, and she was really struggling for that. And she said, I am so glad I've been preparing my life spiritually because it's what's carried me through this very challenging time. Now, I've been telling you that each week. Take advantage of what God's doing and what he's speaking to your heart, putting it into practice, and you will find whatever is in your future, God will have already prepared you for that moment. And that's what's really important that we understand. So spiritual maturity is developed by obediently following God's word, making sure I'm saying yes. When God speaks to us, he's challenging us, I'm saying yes. What do I need to do? How do I need to put it into practice? It also happens by relationship. So God has called each one of us to be in relationship. And so we are connected to one another. We're discovering how that relationship will help shape us and encourage us and develop us. But all of those relationships become very much a part of how we develop in our spiritual maturity. Also, putting into practice on a regular basis. So when God speaks to us, we say, yes, what do I need to do? I'm going to put it into practice on a regular basis. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to see how he wants to use my life. And then maturity is developed as we share the light of Christ with others. There's something really significant about making sure we're sharing our faith with others. It's unmatched. I had a great conversation this past week with a man from our congregation. He's recovering, and he was talking to me. His name is Billy. He was talking to me about how he's been growing in his faith and how God has been opening up new ways for him to be able to serve. He's very regular in his AA meetings and making sure he's going to those on a regular basis. And so we're talking about all that. And he said, one of the first things that you have to do in AA is you get into making sure you're helping someone else right away. He said, like within a couple weeks of coming into recovery, they already want you to be meeting with a mentor who's going to be helping you. And then developing your relationship so you can help someone else. So you get your focus off yourself and on to helping someone as quickly as possible. And he said there's something also about seeing new people come into recovery that just gets you really energized and excited. And I said, wow, can I use all of this on Sunday? He said, sure. And I said, because that's exactly what happens for every one of us. When we start sharing our faith with others, we get to lead somebody to Christ. It's like a blood transfusion for every one of us. And when we have new believers and excitement happening because people have given their heart to Christ and they start growing and developing and learning, there's some excitement that happens. And let me tell you this, the faster you get into the process of helping others, serving others, and making sure you're doing all you can do, the faster you will grow yourself. And so I can tell you this, one of the greatest disciplines that's been for my life always, always has been serving. I can tell you from the very early point when I first gave my heart to Christ, I started a Bible study in my apartment. And that Bible study, I had to prepare every week. Shortly after that, I started teaching Sunday school, and I started working with kids, and I was teaching fifth grade boys. And I can remember investing in those boys and trying to do everything I could. Then I was a part of a youth group, and I helped junior high youth. Little did I know, Brian Rehm would be one of those junior high youth that I was working with. I was slightly out of school myself, but anyway. So all I'm saying is that all of those things, here's what happens on a regular basis, and to be very honest, it still happens. I know for me to speak on Sunday, I have to be a clean vessel, and I have to have my life in a right place. And there are sometimes I don't feel so great, and I don't feel like, and I may be nursing a wound or a hurt or a problem, but I can't stay there. I have to get it together so I'm able to give it to you. And that's the benefit of leading and teaching and being where God wants you to be. Because you have a regular accountability. You need to get yourself in the right place so you can serve. You need to be doing what you need to be doing and allowing God to be working with you. And that's why you all need to make sure you're working with someone in serving and you're sharing it with as many as possible. Now, I thought this was really great. Came across this week. It's this week as I was studying Lifeway research. They came up across with intensive research revealed 8 attributes of discipleship that consistently show up in the lives of believers who are progressing in spiritual maturity. Now, we didn't do an intensive research. They did. But what they did confirmed what we've been telling you all along, which was like really cool to see this. So here's what it said. Bible engagement, that's exactly what we do, and these two, gather and grow. Obeying God and denying self, exactly what we do when we've been talking to you about gather and grow. Serving God and others, gather and give, we've talked about that. Sharing Christ, that's what we're talking about today. Exercising faith, give and grow. Seeking God, gather and grow. Building relationships, this could be all of them, gather, grow, give. Unashamed to share my faith, go. So it's exactly what we've been saying upon intensive research. What I'm telling you each week is exactly what intensive research has taught them, but we're all understanding if we're going to go deeper, there are certain things that need to be a part of our lives. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism. Thank God, that's what we did this morning, in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Exactly. And I want to tell you, if I couldn't be a part of a church that was seeing people be saved on a regular basis, baptized on a regular basis, and growing in their faith, I wouldn't want to be a part. It's just a club, and we don't need more Christian clubs. we need more Christian gatherings where the Spirit of God is working and transforming lives. Amen? So each of us has a testimony. Each of us who have received Christ have a testimony. And a testimony is like what God has done for you and how he has changed your life. That is significant. No one else has a testimony like yours. Yours is unique to you. And that's why you should never look down and say, well, I gave my heart to Christ when I was 5. I don't have much of a testimony. Are you kidding? We all have. Look at all that God has saved you from. Rather than someone who came to Christ at a later age and they've had all of this and lost all of those years and all of that time that could have been invested in bringing about life change in others as a result. And so, Mom, but all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So if our belief gives us that right, I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so you may know you have eternal life. If someone's asked you the question that said, do you know that you would go to heaven when you die? If you said, well, I hope so, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says you can know so, and you can have that kind of confidence. And so I would say it's very important if you make a decision for Christ, you give your heart to Christ, you are born again, you can know that you're on your way to heaven. That's the good news of the gospel. Once we were dead in our sins, but now we who are alive in Christ, but now we're alive. And so once we were dead, that was where I was, but that's not where I am. Once you were dead in your because of your disobedience and your many sins, Ephesians, when once we had no hope, but now we have hope. We're a people of hope, right? Only some of you believe that. We're a people of hope, right? Yes. All right, yes. Amen. Because God has brought transformation to us. So I don't have to be depressed or discouraged. I am a person of hope. And so that's where my focus needs to be able to see that. In those days you were living apart from Christ, you lived in this world without God and without hope when you were apart. But now that you're together with Christ, you're a person of hope. And that's the difference. Once you had no purpose, but now we have a rich and full life. So you wonder, what's my purpose in life? Well, it's very clear because God has that. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's what God wants. These are words from Jesus. He spoke, and here's why I have come. My purpose in coming is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And so that's the benefit of knowing Christ. That's the benefit of being in a relationship. Once we had no promise, but now we have a promise of heaven and eternal life. And so we can know for sure that that's the case. In scripture, Jesus said, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You see, when you're born again, your name is written in the book of life. And so that is written there. And as a result, then you have new life in Christ. And so it's called the book of life that shares what God has done in us. And so I thought it would be best to give you an opportunity. Some of you may not have that faith in Christ. And I thought it'd be great for you to be able to have that today and to know that. So I thought rather than me just sharing it with you in the way I traditionally do, I thought it'd be great to go to our website, find out that on the front page of our website, it says Know God. That's one of the screens that comes on. If you clicked on that, it would take you to a page that shares the gospel. Many of you don't know that. And so I thought, what better way? I'll share the gospel through that method. Maybe you'd like to put it on your page or send that out to someone as well, that they can be able to know that. Because the scripture says, anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So there's definitely a plus and a minus that is talked about in scripture very clearly, that there's a heaven and there's a hell.
Thank you for giving to us the opportunity of sharing with you the greatest life decision that you will ever make. When you made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've made a decision for life change that will give you hope and peace. It's a very simple process. In fact, Jesus says, unless we become like little children, we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's just as simple as ABC. We admit that we are a sinner. We believe that Jesus died for us. We confess our sin to him. We do that in a simple prayer, and we receive him into our heart as our Lord and Savior. Let me pray that prayer with you right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I confess them to you right now. I ask that you would come into my heart and help me to be able to live a new life. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that prayer is really simple, but if you prayed that prayer from your heart, then you are born again. Jesus said, except a man is born again, he'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's exactly what Jesus wants to do for you. And so I encourage you right now to begin your new life by praying. And that's simply talking to God, reading your Bible. That's God talking to you. And then finding a church where Christ is preached and you can be able to grow in your new faith. Please share it with someone else. There's no greater joy than for someone else who understands and believes to be able to know that you have made this decision. Please share it with us. We'd love to help you grow in your faith and learn more about how you can live for Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may God bless your new life and your new future.
That's on our website, and if you wanted to just click and copy and paste that into your social media and share it with people rather than the mindless rants that are shared by so many people, wouldn't it be great to be able to make sure that we could be able to share the gospel with as many as possible? There's great resources that you can be able to use, and if you prayed that prayer today and you said, I made that decision, Caleb will be at the hub following the services. We'd love to give you a Bible. There's I Choose Jesus card that's in the back of the seats. Please take that, fill that out, and just let us. We won't hold you, we promise, but we just love to give you a Bible that'll help you to grow in your faith and learn more about how God wants to work in your life. That's the good news. Now, let's understand, Jesus calls every one of us to go. He calls every one of us to go. But... here's the problem. He says this in Scripture, you didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. Not stay, but to go and produce lasting fruit. So that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. How many times you say, I would like to share the gospel with people, but I don't really know what to do. I don't know what to say. Nothing is stronger than you doing it personally. I've had people say, they want to know Jesus. Could you help them? And I've done it when they did that because I thought, oh, that's a great opportunity. And I love it. It's exciting. It's like a blood transfusion. But how much better when I say, you could do this. You can help them. And you've heard me do the ABCs so many times. You know how to do it yourself. And I've had people tell me, they've said, you know, I've heard you do that. And so I thought, I think I can do this. And they did. And they shared Christ and led somebody to Christ. But here's the problem. Most Christians believe it's our responsibility to go. Most believe that. In fact, here's statistics. Lifeway Research did this. The study conducted found 80% of those who attend church one or more times a month. That's considered regularly. Unfortunately, not for you guys, though, right? We've already talked about Gather. That was another sermon. One or more times a month believe they have a personal responsibility to share their faith. 80%. And I'm sure even more in here because we've talked about it enough. But unfortunately, many do not. 80% believe they should, but many don't. So, like, here's 61% have not told another person about how to become a Christian in the previous 6 months. So 80% believe they should, but 60% have never said anything. So many Christians know they need to share their faith. They know they need to. But what is the problem? Despite a vast majority believing it's their duty to share their faith and having the confidence to do so, 25% said they have shared their faith once or twice. 14% have shared three or more times over the last 6 months. So we're looking at those who have. That means 75% have not. And as we look at that, 86% have not. So many Christians are not even looking or praying for opportunities to share their faith. Could this be the problem? Could this be the problem? We're not even praying about opportunities. We're not even looking for opportunities. They have to fall on our laps before we actually know. I will never forget a friend of mine. This was after college, and when I was early, she said they went to kind of share their faith with different people. They knocked on a door, and they said, you know, we'd like to do a survey. That's kind of the model they were using. The woman said, wait a minute. Are you people born again? And they said, yeah. She said, come right in here. I've been praying, waiting to talk to somebody about this. I mean, I think, wow. But most of us are not even praying or looking. Here's what it says. In the study, 21% of churchgoers say that outside of church worship, they pray every day for people who they know who are not professing Christians. 21%. So 79% of us don't. 26% say they pray a few times a week. One-fifth, 20%, say they rarely or never pray for the spiritual status of others. So could that be the reason it's not happening, folks? Could that be the reason we're not doing anything? We're not looking for opportunities, and we're not even praying for opportunities. So why would we have it dropped in our lap when it's not even in our heart or mind? In fact, we probably passed it by and didn't even see it. The fact is, on the back of your outline, there's a little chart. I won't have time to go into it, but you can look at it. It gives you LifeWay's statistics about exactly how all of this happens and doesn't happen. And so, what is it telling each one of us? Let me say, our testimony might make the difference. Our testimony just might make the difference. Let me tell you this story. I think this is an awesome one. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the demon-delivered man, remember, he had 12 many demons. They called him Legion. He threw him into the pigs, you know, and the pigs went over the cliff. This is the same guy, okay? Got it? So he begged to go with Jesus. Please. He said, please, let me go. But Jesus said, go home to your own people. Tell them your story, your testimony, what the master did and how he had mercy on you. The man went back and began to preach in the 10 towns area about what Jesus had done for him. This is called Decapolis. That was 10 towns. He was the talk of the town. Why? Because he had life change. Because he was different. He wasn't the same person he was before. Have you noticed? I've noticed this. Sometimes people give their heart to Christ and they talk about Jesus, but they look the same as they did before. Like when you talk to them, you hear they're just as angry, but now there's a new anger. I mean, they're just as resentful, but now it's kind of in a different case. But it doesn't look that different. I want to say, there should be a transformation in our lives. People should know a difference in you. They should see you differently. You should respond differently. What is a part of your old life is not a part of your new life. There's a transformation that happens, and you start walking in a different direction than you walked before. You come across differently to people. They see something different about you. They are immediately aware. And this hypocrisy that we're so often accused of as Christians is no longer present because we're honest and straightforward and we're dealing with whatever is a part of that growing process in our lives. Now, the man wanted to go with Jesus, But Jesus knew his story was best used in sharing with those in his immediate world. So, you know, Jesus knew, you know, he could have said, sure, like, we just want to hang out with Jesus. I don't blame you. Come on, you can do that. He said, nope, nope, nope. For you, it's going to be best if you stay here. You just tell everybody about what's happened to you. You see, the man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus knew that life change is the greatest testimony that anyone can have. And let me say this, when those closest to you, your family, generally, friends, close, when they see the change, that they should see it most dramatically, because that's where the change is. Now, those also are the hardest people to reach, but the change should be there. I always say, rule of thumb, the closer you are in relationship, probably the least amount of things that you should say. They should see your life change. The farther you are in relationship, the easier. I mean, I can talk to a person on a plane. They don't know if I'm living that life or not. They just know my words. Hopefully, I am living the life and it's there. But I'm just saying, I can talk to a person on a plane I'll never see again, like easily. I can say whatever I want. A person that I'm close to, I have to be much more careful and much more cautious, and really look for opportunities and openings that God's going to give me. Now, the man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus knew that when you share with those closest to you and they see your before and after, nothing speaks louder. Amen? When they see your before and your after, they already know who you were, but when they see this after, wow. The man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus knew his powerful transformation would transform a difficult area. He lived in a very difficult area for the gospel. That's amazing. When Jesus came back, in this reference, Mark 15, there were large crowds gathered. Now, you think they were pretty angry about those pigs dying, right? That was kind of a, they were pretty angry. They're ready to drive him out because of all that. But now when he comes back, same area, that man's testimony had transformed an area. One man who had a transformed life had a significant impact. And the area of Decapolis, or those 10 towns, later became a hub of early Christianity, where creeds and translations and decisions were made that affect us all. What if Jesus would have said, I know, this is the comfortable place. Come along with me, because I want you just to be comfortable. No, Jesus said, I want you to go back in a very uncomfortable place, in a very difficult thing. I want you to go back and share the change that has happened to you. Why? Because Jesus knew every one of us were going to benefit by that man's faithfulness to God. How many people are going to benefit by your faithfulness? How many people are going to be transformed because you were looking and praying for an opportunity to share the gospel? You were living out a life that was different, and they saw that kind of transformation in you and wanted what you had because they saw it was so different. The fact is, how will you go? How will God use that in your life? God may be calling you to go to your own family and friends. Make sure you live the life in front of them that they may see Jesus. That's what has to happen. Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. God may be calling you to reach those in your workplace or another area. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there. That's why I have come. We need to have that same passion, that wherever I'm going, God can be able to use. God may be calling you to a short-term or long-term mission trip to share Jesus with others. And if that's the case, we know that he said, and he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. God is calling you to go. Don't miss the opportunity to be Jesus to your world and let them see Jesus in you. When's it going to happen? When are you going to have a passion in your heart that's deep enough, that's big enough, that you want to pray regularly, look for opportunities, and share Jesus with your world. I want us to pray, and our band is going to start. They're going to sing a song called Let Them See Jesus in Me. And if God is speaking to your heart, and he is talking to you about what decision you need to make, about somebody you need to reach, would you just stand where you are as you're listening to the song? And I want to have just a closing prayer with you. So if God's speaking to your heart, and maybe you haven't been there, you haven't done that, if you would do that.